Phoneboy Speaks, episode 165, Two Factors of Panacea. Two-factor authentication seems to be the current panacea for services on the internet. Evernote today finally introduced their two-factor authentication system. Twitter did it several days ago, I guess. And we're seeing more and more services do it. And it's because sites get hacked. They have issues keeping their passwords safe. And so by doing a two-factor authentication system, it's a little more secure because it's not just a password, i.e. something you know, but it's based on something you have, which is usually a token of some sort. And more people are using cell phones to do it. Now, of course, deploying two-factor authentication can also be a bit like, putting a deadbolt on your front door but leaving the side door open to your house. You can still get in. And in fact, this seems to be the case with Twitter. So the way that the Twitter two-factor authentication works is that it uses SMS, which is in itself isn't bad. But when you consider that you can easily turn off two-factor authentication by simply logging off of your phone on Twitter, well, so why does that sound bad? Well, because it's trivially easy to spoof an SMS if you've got an access to an SMS gateway. It's trivial to do that, just much like I used to be able to spoof telephone calls using voice over IP gateways. Because some SIP lines are better than others, I guess, at that, or more promiscuous. So it's really easy to turn off the two-factor authentication. And furthermore, if you happen to be one of the places where Twitter doesn't support either your country or your particular operator with SMS, then you can't even use it. So it's, in my opinion, that's just like a completely half-assed security thing because, yes, it's easy to disable and it doesn't even work for most people anyway. What a lot of places are doing, and I know app.net does this and Evernote did this as well, is they use the Google Authenticator type thing, which, and it's some open standard. I know Google basically open sourced the entire system. And so the idea is that every 20 seconds or so, you'll get a new 6-digit code that when you're asked for your identity, you also have to, you enter your username and password, and then you're prompted for the 6-digit code. And there's nothing wrong with that, and in fact, it's a pretty decent, robust system that also allows you to work with applications that if you're something like Google, and there's third-party applications that access your services, there's probably going to be some apps that don't support this two-factor authentication, and so to deal with those apps, they generate these long passwords that you use in that application, and you use it one time, and that works pretty well. I mean, I know with app.net and Google, I've got a number of these one-time passwords floating around, and they're relatively long, unguessable, and I never have to enter them other than the one time into the application. So that's pretty good. Now, of course, Apple has also implemented two-factor authentication, which, of course, I signed up for, and they had some safeguards in there. But when you try and log into the iCloud website, that would be a great place for two-factor authentication. Well, guess what? You're not prompted for two-factor authentication. And likewise, when you try and restore a device, you're not prompted for two-factor authentication. It is tied to your Apple device, and that's fine. But there's ways around it because, as I said, you bolt the front door, but you can still get in the side door. And and all of these services hopefully also have some sort of like password that's that you keep completely separate and that you never use in case of emergency or something. They exist as well, because that's the problem with these systems is once you implement them, if you happen to your phone gets lost or you essentially lose your token, then you're screwed because you can't get in. And in fact, the Google system has they have these passwords that you can print out and put in your wallet. They're basically backup codes so you can get into your account and in the case that you don't have your key available. And that's useful. It's But anyway, my point of this podcast is that just because they implement two-factor authentication doesn't mean that it's going to be suddenly more secure. You have to implement it the right way. You have to make sure that all of the points of entry are accounted for, that you have some sort of way to recover. And you know, and I think the Google system is about as good as I've seen, for sure, certainly for web-based applications. Although I guess for users, it's a fairly complex. And I know a lot of people don't do it, and maybe you don't need to do it, or maybe you don't want to do it. It's nice that it's an option. However, there's no excuse for Twitter to get this wrong. I mean, you know, God, use the Google Authenticator system. It's free. And, you know, it seems like everybody else has done that. And, you know, there's other systems. I think PayPal uses this, what used to be VeriSign Labs, which is now part of Symantec. So, and I don't particularly like that application, but it is what PayPal uses, so therefore I'm kind of stuck using it. And so that's the other problem, is we start getting more of these two-factor apps that or systems that use it, is how many more of those apps you're going to get. At least everybody but PayPal seems to have settled on the Google system, which seems to work pretty well. So in any case, so just remember that two-factor authentication is not a panacea. It's not going to suddenly make things more secure. You actually have to think about how it's implemented and make sure that that all entry points are secured with two-factor authentication. Otherwise, it's no better than the single-factor authentication.
Thank you for listening to this episode of PhoneBoy Speaks. You can find all of the past episodes, all of the ways to subscribe to the podcast, and all of the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboyspeaks.phoneboy.com.